Blog Talk Radio.
About emotional intelligence. The number to call is 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. I'm your host, and I'm ready to talk about emotional intelligence. But first thing I want to do is I want to give a big shout out to the Florida Hillsborough County Library. The Florida Hillsborough County Library System. And why? Well, just past weekend, they had a meet and greet authors and book signing that was held at the South Shore Library. And I had an opportunity to attend and met quite a few folks, and we talked about books. We talked about emotional intelligence in particular. So I just want to say thank you to Brenda Dillingham, and thank you to Jack Bratt. Those were two of the folks that I met, and we had some pretty long discussions, and they also purchased copies of the book, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing was that I got to meet some folks that were, quote, like-minded, and they wanted to talk about emotional intelligence, and we did. So I just want to give a big shout out to them, and thanks to the Hillsborough County Library Association for making that possible. So if you are looking to have a book signing or something like that in your area and you're listening in, hey, send me an email to the drhankshow@gmail.com. Send it to the drhankshow@gmail.com, and I'll respond back and let you know if and when I'll be in your area. And if not, how we can get something set up. So I'm always happy to speak with and talk about the topic of emotional intelligence. I know last week, we had a number of people on from the new chapter that is emerging there in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so we had the new chair. Her name is Dr. Tanaya Walters. So if you're in the North Carolina area and you're interested in getting involved in that new chapter that's being developed there, the Society of Emotional Intelligence, North Carolina, or the Society of Emotional Intelligence, Charlotte chapter, reach out and contact Dr. Tanaya Walters at soeicharlotte@gmail.com. That's soeicharlotte@gmail.com. She's looking to build the organization. She's looking for people to be active participants. She's looking for people to perhaps take on some leadership roles to help grow the organization. So please, if you didn't get a chance to hear her last week, send her an email and just introduce yourself. I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. Well, for those of you that are tuning in for the very first time, and this message goes out to Joyce. Joyce was one of the people that said she was going to listen to the meetup today and try and get on the show. That's Ms. Joyce. But Ms. Joyce was trying to figure out, how in the heck do I get to the show? Well, to get to the show, it was just go to blogtalkradio.com, The Dr. Hank Show, and you do that on your computer or cellular device, and it will lead you to the show today. So, Ms. Joyce, hopefully you are able to tune in and connect with us. If not, well, we'll find another opportunity. Just send me a Gmail at thedrhankshow@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can get you on. So the line is open. The line is open. But before I go to the line and take a call or two, just wanted to see if I can share a couple of things for those that are probably tuning in for the very first time, and that is, most people want to know, just who is the Society of Emotional Intelligence? Well, the Society of Emotional Intelligence is a professional association, much like if you were in medicine, if you were a doctor, as an example, you'd probably belong to the American Medical Association, or if you were in human resources, you'd probably belong to the Society of Human Resources Management. Or if you were a trainee, you'd probably belong to ATD, the American Talent Development, which used to be the American Society for Training and Development. So the Society of Emotional Intelligence, or SOEI, is somewhat similar, and that is, we are professional development, networking, training, or educational organization that is designed to help people who are interested in the topic of emotional intelligence to find out more and grow more in that area. So we offer seminars, workshops. We have an annual conference. An annual conference is coming up in April of 2019. So you might want to mark your calendar for that, April 5th and 6th. And on our website, societyofei.org, there's a call for speakers. So if you're skilled in and or the topic of emotional intelligence, you want to share your experience and knowledge, go to the website and request a proposal form, and you can complete a proposal form to speak at the conference. Now, speaking at the conference is pro bono. We cannot afford to pay anyone to speak at the conference. That's just the way that the organization is. We are a nonprofit, so people typically contribute their time and energy to nonprofits. Okay? So that's the annual conference. We also offer something called the EQI 2.0 certification, and I'll tell you more about that near the end of the show, but just briefly, it's for people who want to use that tool to assess someone's emotional intelligence. Looks like we have a couple of people on the line here, so let me just check in and see who's on the line and see if there's a question or comment or they'd like to introduce themselves. Good morning. You're on with Dr. Hank. Who do I have here? Good morning. You're on with Dr. Hank. Hello. Good morning. You're on with Dr. Hank. Please identify yourself. Question or comment, please. Oh, it sounds like this individual just wants to listen. So if they just want to listen, that's great. We're not going to encourage someone to speak out if they don't want to speak out. So, be a good listener. However, if at any point in time you wish to offer a comment or a statement or a question, feel free to just identify yourself and say, I have a question or a comment, and it will certainly be welcome. So feel free to jump in at any time, okay? Again, you're on the Dr. Hank Show, and this is Open Mic, and part of what we want to talk about today is my new book, EQ is for Everyone, and just kind of talk a little bit about why I say that EQ is for everyone. And maybe we'll have a caller, or maybe we'll have a listener that calls in and shares their experience, or maybe they have a comment as to why they feel that EQ is for everyone. Now, I'm not going to go back into the history of emotional intelligence and how long emotional intelligence has been around, but let's just say with some degree of certainty that emotional intelligence itself is not a new concept. Now, the radio show that we're having is new. It's not new either, I guess. The show has been on for probably about 6 or 7 years, okay? However, we weren't always on Blog Talk Radio. We were on a couple other radio channels, internet radio channels, but now we're on Blog Talk Radio. So when we talk about emotional intelligence and how I see that emotional intelligence is for everyone, let's just talk about it in terms of emotional intelligence being a competitive advantage. Now, recently I just said that emotional intelligence itself has been around for a long time. So if it has been, then it must be, or it must have some value. That is, people are beginning to see or discover that there's use. And when I use the term emotional intelligence, I just want to kind of give a rough definition for the term emotional intelligence. Now, obviously, you can Google the term emotional intelligence. You can come up with a lot of different definitions. But here's one. Emotional intelligence is being smart about our emotions. Emotional intelligence is being smart about our emotions. So what does that mean? Well, we can be smart about a lot of things. Let's say, for instance, you want to buy a house and you're not that skilled in understanding property and property values and that sort of thing. So what you do is you might hire someone that's a realtor, or you might hire a property management expert, but someone who has skills and knowledge around property, and he or she can share with you information about property. And then as a result, you would then become a little smarter about property management. Another example might be, let's say that you want to save for your retirement, but you're not really smart about investments or stocks or mutual funds or bonds and things like that. So you may go out and hire someone that has that skill so that you can become smarter about that. Or you may just simply read more so that you can become smarter about that. At any rate, the more time you spend with that topic or subject, and time you invest in it, or hanging out or hanging around people that have that skill, you will tend to become smarter. So the same thing can be said about our emotions. Some of us are smart about our emotions, knowing when and how our emotions impact or affect us, and there are others that may not be. And if they are not, then one of the things that they can do is hang out with other folks that are, read about it, or look at YouTube pieces, or get involved with the Society of Emotional Intelligence. If you got involved with the Society of Emotional Intelligence, you will probably become smarter about what emotional intelligence is. Okay? So that's another way of kind of thinking about emotional intelligence. It's being smart about our emotions. Another way to think about emotional intelligence is if we are intelligent about our emotions, we will have our emotions work for us rather than against us. Now, you're probably saying, now, how can that be? How can our emotions work against us? Well, hypothetically, let's say that something happens in the workplace and you get really upset. You get really upset, so upset, so until you may say something to your boss or say something to your coworker that is inappropriate or that is something that you really wish you hadn't said once you think about it, okay? So in a case like that, your emotions are working against you. In other words, they didn't help you in this particular situation. As a matter of fact, they were a detriment to you in that particular situation. So that would be a case of your emotions working against you. A case where your emotions might work for you, maybe, well, let's say hypothetically, a situation comes up where you need to work with others in the work group, okay? And you notice that someone is having a difficult time completing their assignment or getting their portion of the work done or the job done. In a case like that, if you demonstrate empathy, your emotion would be working for you because what you're doing is you're saying, hey, I see that someone may need help, and let me kind of take a look here and see how I might be able to help that individual. So that might be a case in which your emotions are working for you. Well, it looks like we have another person on the line here, so let me just check and see who's on the line and see if they have a comment or a question. Good morning. You're on with Dr. Hank. Who's on the line?
This is Kevin. I'm just listening like I did last week. How are you today,
Doctor? Okay. Great. Yes, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for tuning in again. Appreciate you being with us last week. It's always great to have listeners. It's always great. Feel free at any point in time to chime in and offer your comments on some of the things that I might be talking about or some of the things that others might be talking about, others that might call in. Okay?
Sir.
So, I was moving along. I was talking about giving sort of an introduction to some, could be old hat for others, about emotional intelligence and how it might work for you and how it might work against you. And to tell you about one of the things that I do is I often speak on the topic of emotional intelligence. And recently I had an opportunity to do a presentation to a group that looks for or is in search for jobs. Okay. And they say, well, would you talk to this group about the importance of emotional intelligence in the workplace? Well, I developed this presentation titled Emotional Intelligence, a Competitive Advantage. Emotional Intelligence, a Competitive Advantage. Now, just using that, people sometimes say, well, how can emotional intelligence be a competitive advantage? Well, one of the things that I attempted to do was to kind of talk a little bit about how a competitive advantage shows up, let's say, in a traditional organization. We'll say Walmart as an example. Most people are familiar with the company Walmart, and Walmart has a competitive advantage over a lot of other companies that are similar to them. And their competitive advantage is low price. Now, whether you like Walmart or not, or whether you shop at Walmart or not, that's not the issue. What we're talking about is the concept of a competitive advantage. Because Walmart considers themselves as a low cost, and they say they will beat anyone's price if you find someone else that has that item, object that they have at a lower price, they'll give you the difference. So, in other words, they want to set themselves apart from other companies or other big box stores by having a competitive advantage in that being lower price. Okay. Another way of thinking about competitive advantage is, let's see, Apple or the iPhone. Again, whether you're an iPhone or an Android user, doesn't matter. What we're talking about is how a company positions themselves so that they have a corner on the market, so that they have what is called a competitive edge. So with the iPhone, their competitive edge, the competitive advantage is something that is termed or called, they have a proprietary lock, if you will, on their software. That is, you can't use their software in any other mobile device other than one that is created, produced by Apple. Or it sets them apart from others. So from their standpoint, and or from some marketing analyst standpoint, it gives them a competitive advantage. Well, if you were looking at what a model of competitive advantage might look like, you could say, well, when an organization has certain, let's say, attributes, maybe it's technology, maybe it's capabilities, or whatever, and they combine those things together, they come up with a distinctive advantage. It can be a cost advantage or something called a differentiation advantage, okay? But it makes for a value creation for that organization. Now, a person or an individual can have a competitive advantage also. Now, I know that sounds like a stretch to some degree, but an individual can have a competitive advantage. So, for instance, let's say if we're talking a swimmer, he or she may have a competitive advantage because he or she is the fastest swimmer out there. The way that they do the breaststrokes or the backstroke or whatever sets them apart from others. Their physical ability in doing that gives them a competitive advantage, gives them an edge. So emotional intelligence can also be a competitive advantage for an individual. He or she, because of their ability and their skill in the concept of emotional intelligence, it can set them head and shoulders apart from others. So let's look at it from the standpoint of, let's say that an individual goes to a college or a university and he or she majors in engineering and they graduate with a 4.0. Well, there's another college or another engineering school probably in that same city, state, county, or certainly somewhere nearby where there's an engineering program, and you probably also have other engineers that are graduating with 4.0s. So let's say this company arrives and they say, well, you know, we want to find a student or we want to hire someone that will be a great employee within our company. So one of the first thing that this company or organization is going to look for is the IQ or the technical skills of the individual. And they discover, hey, this individual has a 4.0. But then when they look on the interviewing schedule, they see there's another individual with a 4.0. And then there's another individual and another and another. And all of a sudden, they may have 10 individuals with 4.0. So the company is now in a quandary. How do we separate? What do we use to separate these 4.0s? Because we're only going to hire one, so there's got to be something that sets this individual apart from all the others. And what I'm suggesting is it can be this individual's competitive advantage called emotional intelligence. Also, well, if we think about emotional intelligence, and emotional intelligence as defined or by many, many others, consists of a lot of different attributes. Now, if you're looking just at the Goleman model around emotional intelligence, they may show that there are these four major core areas, whether it's self-awareness or self-management, relationship management, or one of the others. They said these four core areas, self-awareness, other awareness, self-management, relationship management. So you have these four core areas, and within those four core areas, there can be certain skills, okay, like empathy or optimism or impulse control. Those things can fall within those four quadrants, okay? Or if we look at a different model, and this model could be one that MHS and Dr. Ruben Baron developed called the EQI model, they may have five core areas like self-perception or self-expression, interpersonal or decision-making, and or stress management. And then within those five core areas, they may also include things like empathy or optimism or problem solving or decision making. So most of the models, they have the core areas and then they have sort of like the sub-cores. Okay. Now the model that I ascribe to or use most often is the EQI model. And I'll share that why a little bit later. But that's the model that I tend to subscribe to, okay? So now we have these 10 people. They all have 4.0s, and they're all excited and ready to go to work for a company. And the company has the tough challenge of deciding who to select. So they develop a bunch of questions that they might want to ask. Well, they can ask the technical questions, and just about everyone will answer them pretty much the same in terms of maybe heat balance or calculations and things like that, because that's that IQ that's coming up. But when it gets to the soft skills, the ability to interact with others, let's say, that might be a core piece that the organization really, really wants. So they may feel that it's important, let's say, for the engineer to work really well with the operations organization, to work well with the production department, to work well with, people in the field, or work well with sales. We don't know. But being able to work well with others may be a key component or a key requirement. When we start talking about working well with others, now we're talking about soft skills, and now we're talking about emotional intelligence. So if we're talking about emotional intelligence at that point, then we can go back to what I initially stated, and that is it can be a competitive advantage for you or a competitive advantage for an individual. That is to be able to develop the skills that set you apart from others. I was talking with a young man this past weekend. He was he came to the table because I was doing a book signing. He came to the table, and he was probably all of 18, 19 years old. And he said, I want to know more about emotional intelligence. And I said, great, because I'm always ready to talk about emotional intelligence. And I said, why do you want to know more about emotional intelligence? He said, because, you know, he says, I have a very high IQ. He says, my IQ is 178. 178. Now, an IQ of 178 would put him in what we would call the genius range. The genius range. He went on to say, but I have a tough time interacting with others or talking to others or expressing my emotions. I said, oh, okay, well, let's talk about that then. I says, tell me, what else do you do? And he says, you know, he loves music. He says he plays about four or five different instruments. I said, so one of the things that you do is you express your emotions through your music. And then with a big smile on his face, he said, yeah. I says, okay. I said, so that's another form of emotional expression. You don't always have to smile outwardly. It can be a way of expressing yourself through something that you do, you know. And so we went on and we continued talking. But as we continued talking, he began to see that contrary to what sometimes people say, that if you have a high IQ, you will generally have a low EQ, is not necessarily always the case. Because as we talked, I pointed out to him that there he was. He walked up to my table. He introduced himself. And he started a conversation. Well, that, again, is a way of expressing yourself. In other words, if we're looking at one of these models around emotional intelligence, that would be an interpersonal skill. He was willing, he was unafraid to come up and start a conversation and really to start talking about where he felt he had a deficit or where he felt he did not have a strong skill. And that was in developing rapport. We're talking to individuals. So we spent probably about 10 minutes just kind of talking about emotional intelligence. And then he walked away and he went on down the aisle to, you know, look at and stop at other booths. And as he did so, what I began to see was his confidence, emotional intelligence, his self-regard becoming stronger and stronger because he was no longer feeling that he didn't have that skill because he was beginning to reinforce to himself that he did have the EI skill. Now, it doesn't always happen quickly. But I'm just sharing with you an example of how sometimes people will say or will make a statement about emotional intelligence and how it's not something that they have, when in reality, they have to look at it and see how it shows up for them. You know, if you ever watch the Dr. Phil show, you know, he makes a statement or comment in there by saying something like, when he's talking to his guest sometimes, he will say, now, how's that working for you? Well, I often use that same phrase when we're talking about emotional intelligence, because we might be talking about an aspect of someone's emotional intelligence, and I'll ask them, now, how's that working for you? So let's say if we're talking about, and I was just mentioning self-regard, the self-regard is how confident you feel about yourself, or how confident are you, you know, in things that you do or the way that you approach things. So self-regard is an aspect of emotional intelligence. So I might say to my client or say to someone, once we've spent some time talking and have a good way of understanding or using the term emotional intelligence, how's that working for you? Okay. And most of the time they will come up with a smile and they say, well, you know, pretty good. Or they may say, well, you know, when it comes to this, it's not working very well. Or when it comes to that, it's not working very well. Or over here, it works really well. Because what I share with others is that emotional intelligence in and of itself is just not one thing. It's made up of a lot of things. Okay. So, and we can have, let me back up here and say it this way. And I used the term self-regard here a minute ago, and I apologize if you're not necessarily familiar with what I mean by self-regard. So let me give you just a quick definition about self-regard. When we use the term self-regard, what we're talking about is, well, really respecting oneself or having confidence in one's skill and ability, or being able to say to yourself, I do this thing very well, and others know that you do this thing very well. Let me give you an example. I love to come up with examples. So I'm going to run out and jump on this one real quick. Let's say that I'm teaching a course in Management 101. The dean comes to me and says, hey, Dr. Hank, we need you to teach Management 101. Okay. Well, I go into the classroom and I'm able to stand up and do a lecture, not necessarily refer to my notes that much, and I'm able to answer student questions, and I can walk around the room, and I can cite examples of management, you know, and some of the theories around management. And so students, just in general, they began to see that, he knows his stuff. He knows what he's talking about. He's pretty confident in who he is. He's pretty confident in his ability to teach Management 101. And I feel confident, and I'm not reluctant to cite information, okay? So the dean says to me, well, Dr. Hank, you did really, really well. We're going to give you another course. For this course, we're going to give you Statistics 101. And I said, oh, no, because I am not good at statistics. But now I have the responsibility for teaching Statistics 101. So I go into the classroom, you know, and I'm probably going to refer to my notes throughout the time that I'm in the classroom. As a matter of fact, when students ask me questions, I'll tell them, wait until I finish my lecture, and then I'll respond to the questions. I probably will stand behind the desk or stand behind the lectern, and, geez, you know, when the bell rings, as the saying goes, I'm probably one of the first ones out of the room, because my confidence level in teaching that course is not very high. So my self-regard in that area is not very high. As a matter of fact, it's low. Now, having said that, there's an example where my self-regard is high when I was teaching Management 101, and an area when I was teaching Management Statistics 101 in which my confidence level or my self-regard wasn't high. But if we just talk self-regard in general, we wouldn't be able to know whether it's high or low. So when we talk about emotional intelligence, some aspect of our emotions within the same general subject area can be high or well-developed, and I like to use the term well-developed. And then there may be other things that I do where my emotional intelligence is not as well developed. So therein lies an opportunity for me, if I choose to make it an opportunity, to develop my emotional intelligence even more. So if I want to become more well-rounded, have a higher self-regard when it comes to teaching both Management 101 and Statistics 101, then I go out and I learn the statistics skills and the techniques, and I'll practice that, and I can enhance my skills in Statistics 101. Same with emotional intelligence. There will be times when we are high or our emotional intelligence is well developed in some areas, and other areas in which our emotional intelligence is not as well developed. But it creates an opportunity for us to develop or to work on that area. Now, I know some of our listeners may be listening in there thinking, well, I thought emotional intelligence was just emotional intelligence, and that's all there was to it. No. Emotional intelligence is a skill and an ability, and we can develop different aspects of it or different levels of it depending on whether we're interested in doing that or not. Okay. So when I was talking about emotional intelligence being a competitive advantage, I'm going to go back to that just for a second, because let's say those engineers and the companies they're interviewing, and they're looking for one that has the skills to be able to relate to others very well, to play in the same sandbox together, or to develop rapport, develop relationship with their coworkers and other departments. If one of the other individuals, one of the other engineers notices that, they can then say, that person has something that I don't have. So let me work on that and see how I can develop my emotional intelligence in that interpersonal skill area so that I can become more competitive. Okay? So through observation, someone can see where an opportunity to develop emotional intelligence exists. So let me just take a break here, because I've been going on nonstop, and I know we have a couple of people on the line, so let me just kind of throw it open and see if there's anyone that has a question or comment that I can respond to. Again, this is Dr. Hank, and you're on the Dr. Hank Show. Is there a question or comment out there?
Dr. Hank, this is Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
And so I come, I'm semi-retired, but I come from a business background and business management and what have you. And when I would interview somebody, I would always take someone, and we didn't call it emotional intelligence. We just called it communication skills.
Sure.
Someone who can communicate well and express themselves well. Way I personally would take them over somebody who had, a lot of credentials, because that's a, and I always thought that this was, that you can't learn that. I always thought that you had it or you didn't, your ability to communicate. So it was something that you kind of were brought up in an environment where you were able to express yourself and learn by, you know, your emotions, if you will, or you weren't.
Right.
And so I always thought that if you know, if there's a job and someone who has the ability to openly communicate, you can always learn the job. You can
Correct.
Learn the job easier than you can learn how to communicate. So I guess my point or my question is your emotional intelligence. And I listened to your example about the gentleman who came over to you who asked for a signing, and he walked away with a little bit more self-confidence and self-esteem about his ability to communicate.
Right.
But I just never really thought that it was something that you could learn. It was something that was there. Because then you're actually changing who the person is, and it's to a certain extent. And that's probably not an easy thing. If he's not answering the way he really feels, he's kind of deceiving people. So it's not that you don't want to say what the person wants to hear. You want to
absolutely not.
You want to really feel that. If that makes sense.
It does. It does.
That's my comment.
Okay. No, thank you for that, Kevin. I appreciate it. I'm going to come at that from a different direction just for the sake of discussion here. And that is, let's say that, emotional expression. I'm someone who probably wants to smile or wants to be more open, but I've been self-conscious about that for some time, because in my household, I was encouraged to only speak when spoken to, or to only or say something if someone else asks you a question. So my emotional expression was somewhat stymied, but I've always wanted to, though. And so I start to take a class, and I discover, hey, I do like smiling. I do like speaking up. That mm-hmm. is part of me. But for whatever reason, it's been, kind of discouraged or toned down. So in that case, that is still me. That is still me. But now I feel more comfortable doing that. And so an individual, let's say, that has not been very expressive in the past, given the opportunity to become more expressive, he can still do that and can still be who he or she is. Now, granted, there are people who will be in an interview and they'll say, well, I wonder, let me see what it is that he wants me to say, or what is it that they would want to hear, and they kind of figure those things out based on, the organization or based right. on what they've heard, So we're really talking about whether it is normal and natural for a person to be a certain way, but it's been sheltered, you might say, or is it they are doing it? So there are, let's say, tools or an instrument that I use that is designed to help determine whether a person is inconsistent in how they respond or inconsistent in the way that they share information. And so sometimes that's what you're looking for. And so when you're doing the interviewing, let's say with someone, you may ask that same question four or five different ways. And if you do that, what you're looking for is to see if their answers are pretty consistent. So if the mm-hmm. answers are pretty consistent, then it's saying that's how they are, that's who they are. But if they start to kind of wobble here and there, or they can't remain consistent, then you probably will discover that that's not who they really are. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, but what you shared is really a good point, and that is sometimes in an interview, if an interviewer isn't necessarily looking for those things, people will respond to whatever it is that they think the organization or interviewer is willing to hear. But to your thought, the more research is done around emotional intelligence or emotions in general, we come up with or we begin to see that we have a lot more flexibility in our emotion than we ever thought that we did, basically because the way that we've looked at emotions for so long. You remember many years ago we were told, don't bring your emotions to work.
Yeah.
Or leave them in the car. Or leave them on the sidewalk, but don't bring them in here. Well, we know it's pretty tough. Even if we try to leave them at home, even if we try to leave them in the car on the sidewalk, it's kind of tough to do that, you know? And so what you wind up with is having more and more unhappy employees or employees that are not contributing, you know, to their full potential because they can't express themselves or they can't release perhaps something that is preventing them from being who they really are. Now, I'm not saying that an individual should come into the workplace and just go all willy-nilly and do whatever. No. The organization has rules, regulations. That's why they have standard operating procedures. They are asked to conform to or operate a certain way, and that's important. But within that, they can still be expressive. They can still allow their emotions or feelings around things to come out, as long as they do it in a way that is both respectful and does not cause disharmony with others. So it's work, but we do it all the time. Make sense?
Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. The everything you said makes a lot of sense. What about the point about how to learn communication or emotional skills? Do people buy books? Do people, you know, how does a person go about developing their skills set there?
Good. Good question. There is no one best way, is the best way to say that. But I can say with a great degree of confidence that there are a number of different ways. They have a lot of books and they have a lot of training programs out there where people can practice, you know, certain skills. Let's say hypothetically, if someone is not very empathic and they want to learn to become more empathic, they can take a workshop around developing empathy. And that workshop or that practice may be in, let's say, spending time listening. See, one of the biggest downsides to empathy is listening. So if a person wants to become better at being empathic or develop their empathy skills, they need to work on being a better listener. Let's say, so they not only listen, but they can repeat back. They can share with someone the emotion that a person was articulating in their discussion. or they can articulate what a person may wanted to express. So the practice of listening, not only listening for the words, but listening for the tone, listening for the feelings, will help a person become more empathetic. So there are classes that a person can take, there are books that they can read, there are stuff that you can find on the internet that would be helpful. So I think there's, you know, just a litany of things that one can do, but first they have to identify just where is it they'd like to improve, or what area of their emotional intelligence that they would like to improve. They may say self-awareness is an area. So how does one become more self-aware? Well, one of the keys is being willing to stop and listen to yourself. Listen to your thoughts. Listen to your self-talk. So the more you are in the presence of understanding what you're feeling at the time, the more self-aware you become. So there are a number of different ways to develop EI, but first it's what area do I want to focus on? So that becomes really the tough question. Dr. Hank. Go ahead. Sorry, Kevin.
No, that's it. I just thank you. That's all.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, this is Dr. Hank, and you've been listening to the Dr. Hank Show. We're about to conclude the show for today. I think we got about 3 more minutes left. If there's anyone else out there that's listening that wants to give us a quick call and maybe I can respond to a question or comment, please do so now. The number is 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Again, we're looking to develop the Charlotte chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence. And the person to contact there, her name is Dr. Tanaya Walters. Her email address is soeicharlotte@gmail.com. That's soeicharlotte@gmail.com. And if you just want to know more about the Society of Emotional Intelligence, go to our website, societyofei.org. That's the societyofei.org. We are a professional association. We'd love to have you as a member. On the website, you'll see that there's membership requirements, membership fees. Also talks about where we have other chapters like Los Angeles, Atlanta, New York, London, Florida, California. So overall, I think we have probably about 14 chapters, and we're looking to develop and grow more. So if you're not a member of one of the chapters, please feel free to go on our website, societyofei.org, look up the information for chapter membership and join our chapters, or join one of the chapters, or join a chapter that's near to you. If there isn't a chapter near you, well, you can always start one. We have 3 new chapters that have just gotten started, one in Virginia, one in Charlotte, and one in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So if you're in any of those areas, hey, we look forward to seeing you or hearing from you. You can always send me an email to Dr. Hank at the Dr. Hank Show at gmail.com. That's Dr. Hank at the Dr. Hank Show at gmail.com. Now, this show, the Dr. Hank Show, is on every Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time. We have different guests. So next week, our guest is going to be someone that will be talking about finances and how finances impact our emotions. So tune in to that one. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you, looking forward to you getting involved. So this is Dr. Hank saying, I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Please go out and have an EI day. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you joining us.